Welcome to Media Business on the Michigan Business Network. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Tony Conley. Appreciate you being here. We've got a great guest, first-time guest, Sam Dodge, edits and reports for MLive. You can follow him on X. Sam, we've talked to many, many reporters here in the state and haven't had the opportunity to meet you. So, hi, how are you? How's life?
Life is good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's cool talking about these higher education issues with you.
Well, I was really interested in the Concordia Ann Arbor story from a couple of aspects. I have a son who plays college basketball. So I was recently at Concordia for a game and just talking with some of the fans there. And they had told me that enrollment was up and sports teams are doing well. And when I read your story, which is kind of contrary to that, I thought I should give you a call, as what we were going to talk about is there's a strong possibility that Concordia in Ann Arbor may close. So give us a little background on the story. There's more than one Concordia, and then just bring us to where we are today.
It's a good time to talk. Just published an update and a follow-up to that initial story. But Concordia, that's a Lutheran university or college in Ann Arbor. The main campus is in Mequon, Wisconsin, which is north of Milwaukee. Merged with the Concordia University in Ann Arbor in 2013. Concordia in Ann Arbor has been around since the 60s, but it was merged into Wisconsin, basically because it was struggling at the time. First few years, it was climbing out of debt, but as you noted, last couple of years, record enrollment at the school. They've been able to afford a lot of new building projects, a lot of new renovations. You drive through the Concordia campus, it's like a billboard for the school. Like, there's this giant barn, there's this giant athletic facility. There's, you know, the manor that has all sorts of art, really great campus that they've been able to build through this record enrollment. However, the update to the story, we're finally able to get some numbers on some financial struggles at Concordia. There was an announcement that they would have to do staff reductions and sell some of this campus because, you know, some financial review that was made by the Board of Regents. Former president went on a podcast and he talked about how, you know, there's really only one bad year of a $5 million deficit. You know, there may be some other things at play. This is stuff that I'm still trying to dig into and kind of nail down. Basically, what it comes down to is the school had one bad year in the last decade. And it is very possible, according to the president, Patrick Ferry, that the Wisconsin campus is kind of overreacting in terms of, you know, kind of cutting some staff and all these things in order to deal with a $5 million deficit, which isn't good, but it's $125 million endowment. They have the ability to cover down some of that deficit through that endowment. That kind of catches us up on all the issues right there.
So what I found interesting in talking with the student when I was there in Ann Arbor for a basketball game is he told me that many of the students there, perhaps 40 to 50% are athletes. So they pay into the university. He said enrollment is up. So he was a bit baffled, and he had mentioned the previous challenges financially that Concordia in Wisconsin had. Now they have them down there, and he was wondering if there was some mismanagement somewhere.
I don't have quite the answer to those questions. My attempts at talking to Concordia through, you know, President Ankerly over there, through the media spokespeople, they've been pretty guarded with their numbers and exactly what's going on. There's a Board of Regents meeting on Thursday, and they're supposed to release some update right there. But this idea of high enrollment, it looks good. There are examples of other colleges, Albion College as an example, where enrollment started to recover, but a lot of that enrollment was because there was a lot of financial aid and grants being put out. So there is, you know, again, I don't have the exact numbers on what's going on in Concordia, you know, why enrollment is high and, you know, there could be some deficits, but it's not necessarily high enrollment means everything's gravy in terms of finances.
So in your story, you mentioned that the first town hall was held just this past Sunday. There has been discussions of likely cuts to jobs. And so I know that there is another town hall upcoming. Is there going to be a vote to what's going to happen? Do we know that yet? Are we still kind of waiting for more information?
Thursday with the Board of Regents meeting, that's going to be that update that we get.
Okay.
The town halls, there's a lot of different community input that came out of those town halls. We found out through this former president, Patrick Ferry, it's a $5 million deficit, and there's a community initiative to put $5 million raised through the community to fill that deficit, give Concordia more time. So that's what we have at the moment.
We're talking with Sam Dodge, who's an editor and reporter for MLive. When we come back, a couple more questions about Concordia in Ann Arbor and how much financial trouble they're in. We'll do that next. I'm Tony Conley. This is Media Business on the Michigan Business Network.
At DBI, we do office by exceeding our customers' expectations since 1984. DBI offers more products and services than any other office supply and furniture dealer in mid-Michigan. For office needs, visit dbiyes.com.
Welcome back to Media Business. I'm Tony Conley. This is the Michigan Business Network, and we're talking with Sam Dodge, who's an editor and reporter for MLive, and he's written a couple of stories about Concordia University in Ann Arbor, which is facing some fiscal challenges. And one of the things I found out, Sam, as I was digging a little bit about this story, is something that kind of comes about. That university and a lot of the land that the buildings are on is worth a whole lot of money. So if they're looking to get out of some financial trouble or maybe grow their endowment, there could be some discussions about selling some of that land.
Absolutely. That's actually an issue that the former president, Patrick Ferry, brought up in his podcast was, you know, it's valuable land. And from his perspective, he's, you know, Lutheran, it's a Lutheran campus. And he was saying, it'd be a shame if our Lutheran campus just became another Huron River real estate development. That's definitely a concern from the community, is that this is a money grab and this is an opportunity to, you know, being able to raise money through property sales. I don't have the information on if that's the motivation. There might be some problems at Wisconsin's campus and they're trying to cover it up with some Ann Arbor stuff. These are all speculations at this point. But, you know, right now, that is a concern in the community.
Let's talk a little bit about another story that you wrote, and it was titled Michigan Universities Have the Best Online Programs. These Michigan universities, according to U.S. News and World Report rankings. I thought this was pretty interesting. I have two sons who are currently in college, and half of their courses are online now. And so a lot of students are turning towards this. Tell us a little bit more about this story, Sam.
Well, this story was based on a U.S. News and World Report rankings. It went through a bunch of different, you know, graduate schools and undergraduate schools that you're able to do online. Obviously, that's a big deal after the pandemic, being able to have those opportunities, you know, to be able to go online. And a lot of these infrastructures to have these schools really developed coming out of the pandemic. And it allows Michigan colleges that maybe don't have the same reputation as, say, University of Michigan, who did appear on the list pretty high. But places like Siena Heights and Adrian, Northwood and Midland, Walsh College and Troy, you know, obviously Michigan State appears on there, but Northwood and Kettering University and Flint, Adrian College, Eastern Michigan, all of these programs are appearing in the top 100 on this list. And there's, you know, thousands of universities, colleges in the country. So Michigan, it's a way to kind of offer a lot of these things. And let's say you live in Ann Arbor, but, you know, you want to be an engineer, Kettering University is an affordable online option in Flint, and you don't even have to drive all the way to Flint to do that. So this is what that story is about, is really highlighting those other colleges.
Sam, let's stay in your neck of the woods down in Ann Arbor. Another story you've been covering, standardized test scores could soon be optional for University of Michigan applicants. I know that this is a trend that we're seeing at colleges and universities statewide. Tell us what you learned.
Well, the University of Michigan is going to change its policy in terms of its applications. So people applying to the university no longer need to put in SAT or ACT scores in order to be considered. It's not going to be something that you have to put in order to have an application. You have the option to, and that'll be considered as part of your overall package. But this is a policy that is an extension, kind of the next step. Coming out of the pandemic, you know, the university allowed for different tests to be considered, PSATs, you know, different baccalaureate programs and scores like that. And part of the thinking there is it's a bit of diversity effort. The university understands, and you know, there's a thought in higher education that the SAT has some issues with, you know, appealing to, you know, Black students, appealing to lower income students. And, you know, these students don't have the same prep programs that a lot of affluent students do. So the university is kind of going through this extra step to become more accessible to different demographics.
What's the vibe? Since you've been covering education for MLive, there's been a healthy appetite from the state of Michigan to supplement the funding that they give to state colleges and universities. What's the vibe with that? Is that going to continue?
It's definitely a lot of rhetoric on that issue, and the gross numbers have gone up. But if you talk to, you know, Michigan Association of State Universities, one of the big issues with enrollment, and there's an enrollment issue across the board at all but really three schools in the state. University of Michigan is doing well, Michigan State, and then Michigan Tech up north is doing really well. And then a couple liberal arts colleges are doing okay as well. But that's a separate thing. State universities have for years had their higher education subsidies cut. And I think Governor Whitmer has tried to increase that. Not nearly at the rate to keep costs low, but it's definitely a topic of discussion coming from Lansing.
We're talking with Sam Dodge, who is an editor and reporter for MLive. I'm Tony Connolly. This is Media Business. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the University of Michigan and their faculty calling for more academic freedom. We'll do that next here on Media Business.
When you fly Lansing, you are just one stop away from over 500 amazing global destinations. The Capital Region International Airport, your gateway to the world. Visit flylansing.com for more information.
Welcome back to Media Business. We're lucky to have one more segment with Sam Dodge from MLive. Sam, you recently wrote a story about academic freedom at the University of Michigan and how the faculty is calling for more freedom, less harassment in a resolution. Tell us about that.
So the university's faculty government, the faculty senate, they have been experiencing, or they are saying that they're experiencing, increased examples of harassment for expressing certain opinions. In particular, right now, obviously the hot button issue is Israel and Palestine. If you go to any University of Michigan Regents meeting, it is a hot button issue. Public comment on that issue is very high. And you'll hear faculty and students talk about not being able to express, you know, their opinions on that issue without reprisal, without harassment. Particularly verbal harassment. There hasn't been a lot of instances or really any reports of physical harassment in that way. But the rhetoric is getting really heated in that way. And so faculty made a move symbolically to the university, like, we need more support. We need more freedom, and we need to feel like we can express our opinions on a very sensitive issue like Israel and Palestine. And the university has put in some of the recommendations. We're already putting in some of the recommendations to keep faculty feeling like they could express that freedom. But it was just the faculty kind of saying, like, hey, university, be on our side with this, whether we're expressing a pro-Israel opinion or a pro-Palestine opinion.
It's an interesting topic to discuss. Prior to you and I starting our interview, I went to DuckDuckGo and Google, and I Googled faculty harassment stories, and they were in the thousands, especially when it came from faculty that were expressing more conservative views as opposed to liberal. Do you see that here in the state of Michigan?
The conservative liberal side, I haven't seen a lot of that. I can say, you know, being a college student in the past 10 years, you know, that was definitely a point of view expressed by, you know, the Republican club at the University of Michigan, you know, that their views weren't valued as much as, you know, the other view. But Michigan also has a robust kind of conservative libertarian community that, you know, gets their voice out. The Michigan Review is the paper there. But outside of the University of Michigan, I haven't seen that dynamic. The dynamic that I've seen in terms of expressing an opinion and fearing that, it's been a lot of tension on the Israel-Palestine issue. So conservative liberal, not as much, but that particular issue, Russia-Ukraine a little bit as well in the last couple of years. It's kind of those international hot button issues that I've seen the most divergence.
Let's talk a little bit more about education here in the state of Michigan. You had mentioned that enrollment is down for many colleges and universities that maybe aren't state. What can you add to our conversation? What's the state of education here in the state when it comes to higher ed?
I would say it is a precarious time in terms of enrollment, particularly, I mean, I brought up Albion earlier. I brought up, you know, Concordia. Liberal arts colleges, those four-year private colleges, every single time I do a story on statewide enrollment, it's going down about 4 or 5% in terms of enrollment. And the state of Michigan is shrinking in terms of demographics. So all these colleges have less people to choose from, literally less students and applicants to choose from. And so they're having to get really creative and really aggressive in terms of their recruitment. I would say the other issue, if you look at schools like Central, Western, Eastern, their acceptance rates are incredibly high because they need to attract the most amount of students that will actually go to their school. It really comes down to, I brought up University of Michigan, Michigan State, and Michigan Tech are the three schools where enrollment seems to be really stable. You know, they have the demographics and the focus that they want in order to stay profitable. But private liberal arts colleges, they're in a lot of trouble. And then those kind of middle, you know, directional schools have been in a lot of trouble. I mean, Central Michigan has lost, I forget exactly what the number is, but just 10s, 20s, 30% of enrollment loss. So those schools, it'll be interesting to see if they understand how to consolidate their missions and not be so widespread. It may lead to some really hard cuts for faculty and administrators. And I think that's going to be an interesting fight and question in the next decade.
Sam, do you think there's any danger that those schools are in trouble, maybe to the point where they may close?
I'm here to report and edit and not too much. I will say that these schools are doing pretty aggressive acceptance of students and applicants in order to make up for potential financial losses. I would say schools are going to consolidate their student bodies and their faculty before we talk about closure. But some of the liberal arts ones as well, I mean, we haven't really talked about Albion, but I've done a lot of stories on the financial issues there, and they have a good new team that seems really determined to climb them out of it. There are colleges like that that are going to have to make some really hard choices.
And Sam, before I let you go, I know that you've been covering the Concordia story and education here in our state. What else are you working on? What should we be looking for from you and MLive when it comes to news in the next couple of weeks?
So Concordia, I'm still working on that story. I'll have something coming out of the Board of Regents meeting this week. I'm always working on fun angles of fun faculty, fun, you know, students with interesting, you know, studies. I just talked to a Fulbright scholar in Italy who's studying cheese production and stuff like that. So balancing those kind of fun stories with the bigger issue stories like campuses like Concordia and academic freedom at the University of Michigan. So a little bit of the fun side and a little bit of the serious side.
We've been talking with Sam Dodge, who is editor and reporter for MLive. You can follow him on X at Sam Dodge MLive. Sam, I appreciate you so much, sir. Thank you very much, and we'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it, too. This is a really fun talk.
I'm Tony Conley. This is Media Business on the Michigan Business Network. We'll see you next time.